Time now for Soccer City.
Six players in the wall for LA. It's Niall McCabe. He goes for a goal and he scores. Niall McCabe around the wall.
Powered by your Kentuckiana Toyota dealers. Right here on ESPN Louisville.
Ackage will strike and scores! An absolute top-pitch rocket for Amin Ackage!
Now, here are your hosts, Benton Newman, Zach Allen Kelly, and Jason Entz.
Welcome to Soccer City Radio, 680 AM, 105.7. I'm Benton.
I'm Zach.
And let's talk some soccer.
Well, first off, Benton, I just want to check in with you. How are you feeling today? Are you solid? Did you melt into liquid last night?
I did not. I was heavily hydrating during the day, so I was prepared for that.
Drink some Pedialyte before the game?
That is one of my go-tos, but I didn't drink any Pedialyte last night. I wore my traditional bucket hat as I normally do, but that thing was soaking wet.
Last night was the night for the bucket hat.
I almost didn't wear it because I don't like to sweat on it since I got like signatures on it, but I'm like, yeah, I probably kind of need it. So it came out.
Zach, I got to say kudos to the players because it was hot. 9:30 we went down to do interviews and stuff. It was hotter on the field at 9:30 than it was in the stands at 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Because there was no wind down there.
Ugh.
It was particularly rough one, but...
We'll get into it.
I think they did good. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Had been a brutal game to play in.
Before we dive too much into things, at 9:20, second part of the show, we got Mike Watts and Devin Kerr calling in.
Some actual professionals on the show.
Yeah. We're going from amateur hour to pro hour. I know they're very beloved by the Louisville fan base, so we're really excited to talk to them. Because a lot of us, we were in attendance at the game, so we didn't get to hear what they had to say about the matches. And we'll also kind of pick their brain about the full USL showcase, as it was, all the surrounding festivities.
Two of the most knowledgeable people we could have to pick the brain about USL.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to talk to them. So before that, we got to talk about the Memphis match. But even before that, did you hear about this Fill the Fam plug?
$5 tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. So $5 tickets right now for Louisville versus Tampa on August 13th and Racing Louisville versus the Chicago Red Stars on the 27th. $5.02 tickets. There's going to be fireworks, $2 beers, games, t-shirts, posters. So make sure you guys jump on that if you don't already have season tickets. It's as cheap as you're going to find them.
Yeah, spread the word.
Yeah, you can go to littlecity.com/fillthefam, racinglou.com/fillthefam.
It's an actual crime that we haven't had a sellout there yet. And
it was going to be that opening match.
That place is going to be so hopping when it sells out. It's built for a sellout.
Man, that pandemic.
Yeah.
They really derailed it, but...
The worst thing COVID-19 did.
We're getting there. A lot of people show up to these matches, but here's the hoping that we can get some good ones on there. I mean, honestly, those are going to be some really good matches, particularly that Tampa Bay match. Like, we kind of owe them some.
Yeah, and I believe, like, get the tickets quick, because I think that $5.02 sale goes through, like, tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow at 10, so, yes. Yeah. And I've heard they've been selling pretty well, so yep. Happy to hear that.
Get them while they're still available.
We also forgot to mention that the Louisville City match versus Tampa Bay, it's going to be a blackout, so make sure you wear your black, because that's when they're going to be unveiling, or going to be first using their new third kits, which have yet to be unveiled.
But I think we can assume are another black third kit.
Strongly suggest that it's a black kit.
Which means my online campaign to shame them into not doing another black third kit was unsuccessful.
Well, you tried. There's always next year, right? All right, let's get into this Memphis match. How about it?
That sounds good. So, I mean, I think the man of the match, the ref, certainly wanted to be the center of attention for that game. I think it's safe to say.
I think the end tally was 11 cards.
Oh, card.
Which, if you're not familiar, that's a lot. That's, especially since it ended up being 3 red cards.
I mean, each team only has 11 players, and you're sent off the field after you get 2. So there's only so many combinations those could go.
And I don't think he realized, and I think we talked about this the other night, I don't think he realized when he gave the Memphis player the second yellow, that guy had already been booked.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I don't think he realized it, because he shows him the yellow and then walks away.
Ooh.
That's their time to shine, because usually you get the real emphatic yellow, red.
Yeah, and he didn't do that. And that's where that whole confusion came for like 3 minutes of everybody wondering, did that guy get sent off?
He missed his opportunity to have that real Mike Dean flair about it.
or that referee from Brazil that's like dancing around and doing
But I mean, I try to steer away from arguing about the officiating, because my mindset on that is you win some, you lose some. But like, there was something left to be desired in honestly both matches that we're going to talk about.
You finish 9-10. I think it's hard to not talk about it.
I know. That's why I was prefacing. I try to usually avoid it, but like, I think this time it's a little bit warranted. But
I also think you have to ask him about it, because he was supposed to tell us Tuesday night at the event what his thoughts were. When Devin Kerr's on air literally saying, "I'm not going to say anything else about the ref because I want to have a job on Wednesday." That it's not a fan thing of you complaining anymore. It's no, these guys are really bad.
We'll see if he'll talk. We're kind of on a live broadcast, so I don't know how willing he's going to be to disclose that stuff. We'll try to get it out of him. I mean, one thing I can kind of back to the officiating thing. One thing that really kind of rustled my jimmies was about 20 minutes in, that no call handball in the box. Yeah. That Memphis player, it was very clear. At first, like live, I'm like, I was kind of like, and then I saw the replay. I'm like, oh my God, that was egregious. How did I miss that?
Of all of the calls, to miss one.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, so I was pretty triggered by that one. And I mean, Memphis got up first, which normally doesn't happen against Louisville City. And let's be honest, was not a pretty goal. Deflected off like some bodies in the box and went in. But they were, oh my God, they were celebrating like they won the World Cup or something crazy. They're going bananas.
I think I wanted to mention this. So like that game was like a slog. Like that was
that's a good descriptor.
A pretty rough back and forth game. I think I saw some Twitter polls recently of like who are Louisville's rivals currently, because rivals keep leaving the league and going out of business. I was like, I mean, Memphis was included in the four in the vote, and I was like, I don't know, man. They haven't
done enough yet.
That felt like a rivalry game. that had the feel of a rivalry game to me.
Oh, I can certainly see themselves working this as more in the conversation. But I think right now they're on the outside looking in.
We get some more of those, then I think that is a rivalry.
Tampa is probably our biggest rival right now. Yeah. Indy, I mean, Indy's got to do something if they want to like stay in the conversation. Because honestly, like, they're kind of
they got proximity, and that's it right now.
They are not carrying their weight in this little thing we have going on. So.
I mean, Tampa's the game I get up for the most right now. So if I had to pick, like, who's the rival right now, it's Tampa.
Yep. So,
but hey, Memphis is working their way in.
I mean,
it's becoming a thing, maybe.
Starting to enter the conversation. They just need to see continued success. They need to be a thorn in our side a little bit more.
Yep.
And then, you know, we'll pay them some respect. But they're not quite there yet, because we ended up winning on this one. But before we start getting our goals and getting that comeback, Amadou Dia got a second yellow card, was sent off, and we were talking about before we got on air. Like,
weird call.
I'd always kind of suspect it. That
make
one was
a call.
I felt like that was kind of because of the angle that the center referee was on and how it looked from his perspective. I don't know. Maybe that's me trying to cut him a little bit of slack or something. But I mean, if you see replays from the other angle,
it was a foul. He tripped him up. I don't see how that's a yellow. That is a completely normal foul.
Yeah, pretty rough yellow to get. So that kept him out of the Phoenix match, which he used to play for Phoenix. So I'm sure he went to be a part of that matchup, and I'm sure Coach Danny Cruz won him part of that matchup too, but wasn't to be after that. And then we got birthday Brace Ombi.
Ooh. Two gorgeous ones too.
He's been playing so well this season.
That little redirect on the corner kick, mm-hmm. Left footed,
very smooth. And how about that assist from Ray Serrano? I literally wrote "Chef's kiss" in our notes here about that. That was phenomenal. And he heads it right over. Nice lobbing header there. So put us up 2-1.
Gave him the Soccer City bump.
Hey. Tell Coach Cruz, who do you want us to have on next? Who needs
that
bump?
We want to have a good game.
Yeah. We'll get them on here. We'll talk them through. And then guess what? They'll get that bump. And we're also talking about this. At the end, Trey Muse, the goalkeeper, who happens to be from Louisville, he ended up getting a red card for a weird handball situation midfield, as the game was pretty chaotic at the end. And, I mean, I know like it kind of hit near your shoulder area, so it's kind of debate there. But the fact that he's literally throwing it out towards the ball gives like heavy intention vibes. So
you
like
throw that chicken wing out there like that, like even if it does hit you on the shoulder, you're not gonna get that call just visually the way it looks when you throw your arm out.
But only a few hours ago, they just announced that was rescinded. He's gonna be available for their next game,
which I think does make sense because on the replay, like it does hit him on the shoulder, but I just think it just. In on the field during the game, like, had he had his arm at his side and that exact same thing happened, I think you don't get a call there.
I agree.
And just throwing your arm out, like, you're not doing yourself any favors.
He
you're going to get
swinging call. His arm yeah. at it.
Because
like,
it definitely looked like he was
that.
Attempting to hit it with yes. his arm, whether or not it hit him in the shoulder.
Completely agree with you. Based off of where the ball hit with it down, like, yeah. I'd agree that maybe probably no call was the right thing there. But the swinging of it, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, haven't read the rule, like, word for word, so maybe I'm making things up here. But when it's so intentional like that, like, is that fair to rescind that? I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm not on this independent review council or whoever reviews this stuff. Whatever. It doesn't affect us really all that much. So, in other news, mid-season awards came out.
We did get to see, because of that, though, my favorite thing in sports, which is specialized positions played by professional athletes who do not play that specialized position. Love seeing field players have to pitch in baseball games. One of my favorite uncommon things. Love seeing non-goalkeepers have to play goalkeeper.
Yeah, you probably get that the whole like non-goalkeeper playing goalkeeper a little less often than you do a field player pitching.
Yeah.
It's
my favorite. You get to see how specialized all those
I mean,
are.
It was only for like 2 minutes because it was like the end of the game, but still fun nonetheless.
Although it's funny because I forgot they were in that situation, and Memphis had a corner kick late, and he like came up and kind of whiffed on a shot. And I was like, see, that's what you get when your keeper takes it. I was like, oh wait, no, he was field player.
Now what I didn't catch was, did they have a jersey prepared for him? Like, was it his name, or did they just have another player like on there? Like,
he just threw on the keeper's jersey, I think. So, yeah. They don't got that prepared.
I didn't think so. I don't know. Was it blank? I guess they have to have a number or something, right? Who knows? But I was trying to say before, some mid-season awards came out for the USL. They were fan voted, so you know, take some of these with a grain of salt, some of the other results, but we're going to talk about the ones that were justified.
I think you can assume there's a very active online Detroit City fan base from the way they're
I'm glad you brought that up because I made a comment like that, and it was pretty polite, and all of a sudden they jump in the conversation. They weren't involved, but
I think proving the point.
I mean, they're kind of like Kristen Preth and Tobin Heath stands.
Yeah, very active online, the Detroit City fans.
Oh, yeah, and they'll find you if you mention them. So I got to start throwing special characters when I write Detroit.
Don't you know you just got to spit the heat in podcast form where it's harder for them to find it?
Yeah, they're not going to listen to us talk. But anyway, Josh Widener won the Young Player of the Year. Absolutely deserved. That was a no-brainer.
Mid-season.
Mid-season. And Coach Danny Cruz was on the nomination list for the coaches. He didn't end up winning that one. I mean, I think it was Ben Pearman, that Memphis coach, which, I mean,
I think it's like Coach of the Year typically is team that was bad and is now good.
That's
you
exactly
get, you get Coach of the Year.
That fits the mold for
Coach of the Year.
Coach Cruz is keeping us great, if not maybe elevated us a little bit more. But you know, Ben Pearman down in Memphis, like, they were kind of a dumpster fire and they lost some important pieces. So this offseason is like, I don't know how this is going to go for them, but they've done flyingly. So that one was probably deserved. But there's still time for him to mess it up and Coach Cruz to bump up his resume. That's what I'm banking on.
Yeah. It's always harder to win Coach of the Year when you're coaching a team that was already good last year.
Yep. So, all right. So we're going to go ahead. We'll kick things off to a commercial break. And when we come back, Mike Watts and Devin Kerr will be joining us. So stay tuned here to Soccer City Radio, 680 1057.
Down in Arkansas, they serve you coleslaw. Chopped up finer than a bale of straw. When you crunch and gnaw a bunch of coleslaw.
You're listening to Soccer City, powered by your Kentuckiana Toyota dealers, right here on ESPN Louisville.
Jason, where did you find this coleslaw song? It's a banger.
Hey, look, I was a history major in college, right? When it comes to research, I'm your guy. I will. You tell me things you need to find, and I will find them.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to pull some obscure songs and move for it.
Yeah.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. I'm Zach, with Benton. We're on ESPN 680 1057. Benton, we had some people in town this week.
A couple big wigs.
A lot of big wigs. We had the USL Summer Showcase, which maybe you can fill me in. I'm still not quite sure, even though it's already happened, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But had some events. Did you get to check out any of the goings on in
town?
I did.
For those uninitiated, essentially, each year they have a kind of a mid-year meeting to talk about things, direction of the whole league, et cetera, et cetera. And so this year was the first year that they coupled it with some like kind of outside activities, things that the fans could be involved in and try to make this big marquee event. So
tied it to a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it all ended with the Louisville versus Phoenix match.
On
that
ESPN.
On ESPN, too, to get some eyeballs on that. And they had a lot of, you know, we'll say theatrics surrounding it, the banners and whatnot, the pyro, the call of the post guy from Churchill Downs.
It's the lead-in game for the Manchester City game on ESPN.
Got some eyeballs that way. Yeah, absolutely. And also beforehand, they had an event called the Warm-Up. It was a Noble Funk Brewery. I actually went there. It was a lot of fun. That's a really cool space there. I got some cool beer, had a little taco bar and stuff like that. And actually, our friends Mike Watts and Devin Kerr, they were doing their SiriusXM radio show live from the event, and a lot of the fan base really liked them, so it was a really cool opportunity for them to get to participate and meet them, for those who hadn't already.
Yeah. So I did see they did the field up before the game with the USL Championship logo. What did you call that field tarp, field dressings?
What did I say? I said they're like dressings or field skirts. I didn't know what they're called, but it looked good. I liked it. I mean, I like that level of presentation. So, I mean, it was the inaugural event. I imagine in future years it's going to probably be flared up more and changes and whatnot. But I'm really happy the very first one that they did. They're like, we want to be in Louisville. They knew the stadium they had. They knew the team we have. Yep. And they did it with a big marquee matchup of Louisville, which is in Phoenix, which we're going to get to shortly.
I do wish moving forward, maybe it was not a weeknight game played on the surface of the sun.
Yeah, it was a little hot. I mean, I think they did the ESPN2 thing for the sake of, they did the Wednesday.
Well, I think their time
slot. For
the
sake of ESPN2.
The time slot they have on ESPN is the weeknight games, so.
They probably did just for that. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to bring on Mr. Devin Kerr right now. Devin, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
How are we doing, everybody? Appreciate you having me on. The coleslaw is fire, by the way, Jason, on the rejoin. Mike Watts may not appreciate it, but wherever that degree is from, you deserve an honorary doctorate, because that was incredible.
Hey, Mike Watts isn't even here to defend himself yet, so we can
download that
keep going
audio
on.
And send that to UK, and we'll see what we can do here. I knew you'd enjoy it.
Well,
so good,
Mr. Devin Kerr. For those who are unfamiliar with you, what do you do? How have you become so focused in the Louisville City community?
I don't sleep, and I don't have a life. And somewhere in there, I try and mix in a family. So the bulk of my time is actually spent on USL Championship. My playing career started youth level, moved through the youth national team, and. ODP, things of that nature. Went to college, played D1 at Stetson University, bounced around the United States, USL, MLS, spent the majority of my career in Germany in the third and fourth division in the Dritte Liga and the Regionalliga. Career-ending surgery, moved back, had a different life, new career in 2017 led to this, and I've just kind of immersed myself in it. I'm one of those guys that I don't really ever feel like I'm going to work, and throughout that, I've gotten the opportunity to meet some great people. And, of course, that does include, in this situation, everybody from Louisville. It's kind of like the home away from home. Now, we've been blessed, obviously, because of, the title runs you guys have been on. And we usually get to experience it firsthand. So Eastern Conference titles, games, championships, the USL final, you name it. And, of course, this time around, the midsummer meetings, the summer showcase, as everybody's talking about. You guys addressed it a little bit. And, it was fun. It was a great time. I don't think I've ever been a part of a community that's embraced us on such a regular basis and been so kind. And this one was definitely a special experience that took the cake.
I know we love having you as our broadcasters. Unfortunately, a lot of the time it's when we're at home, so we're at the stadium and we don't get to enjoy your guys' commentary, but we do get to catch all the other work that you do. I knew that you played college ball. I didn't know you played professionally. That's really really awesome. And you're charismatic enough where I'm pretty sure it was a smooth transition from playing to the commentary side of things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So people ask me all the time how I got into it, and the regardless of the connection, for me, it's the closest thing that I've experienced to playing. I actually had this conversation with George Davis IV and Kyle Morton at training on Monday, and we were just kind of discussing backgrounds, and I've known those guys for a while, and especially George, and it's a very unique situation where you have to be a polished individual that obviously knows about the game and knows what's going on, just like a player. but so much of it is still about the team, because it doesn't matter how good I am. I could have someone who's play-by-play who is nowhere near the same level, and it's going to make, you know, it's going to bring the overall broadcast down. And that could be the, mm-hmm. you know, the audio guys could have the same effect. Our director, our producer, we're very fortunate that around the United States there are a lot of great people involved in the industry. And my team last night is definitely one that's the top of it. Gage Tillotson, Eric Falero, Sharni Yerke, Mike Friedman. I just want to name them because I'm one of those people that, although I'm grateful for everything that's put in front of me and it kind of looks like it's an individualistic effort, I would not be where I'm at if it were not for their help, their expertise, and their constant guidance. But it's a lot of fun. It's great. You have to have thick skin, for sure, given the some of the abuse you take on social media. But you take the good with the bad, and I'm one of the ones who I'm probably at about a 95-5 in terms of good and bad ratio.
Yeah, just don't have any negative hot takes towards Louisville City, and we'll keep you in our good graces.
There you go. I mean, you guys make it easy on me, so that's I don't see that in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. So, go ahead.
I got a question. So you work hard, you put yourself out there, make a name for yourself. How often do you get confused with the goalkeeper for the Washington Spirit, and do you find that frustrating?
First of all, we've exchanged back and forth on social media. Very nice young woman, and I have no problem being mistaken for her. She's a very polished individual, great player. My only issue with her is this. She went to Ohio State, and in my family, that's a big no-no. We're all Penn State Nittany Lions. And even though I didn't play there, I'm the black sheep in that aspect. Every other person in my family went to Penn State. So that's the one problem that I have. But it does happen regularly. The first time was actually my inaugural year calling College Cup. I'm the lead analyst for ESPN for men's college soccer. I do most of their national games, ACC, and I get the opportunity to call the national championships. And in 2019, my headshot had been sent out, and they were asking for my bio, and the gentleman who was in charge of it accidentally reached out to Devin Kerr and didn't realize that, because she had done some work for them apparently behind the scenes, and didn't realize. So all of a sudden she's getting all this information of, you know, travel stuff and documentation of interviews and timing, and she kind of just goes, yeah, I think you guys have me confused. The other side of that is I've actually gotten confused by some of her sponsors before, tagging me on social media, asking me to do stuff. And although I was never a goalkeeper, I'm more than happy to take the free merchandise and pass it around to some local charities. But it's a fun back and forth between the two of us, for sure.
I'm just imagining you in a nice suit doing the broadcast with goalie gloves on.
Yeah, sure, I'll take some gloves.
That's a good
one. Last year, Danny Cruz probably would have loved that, but now he's got Kyle Morton, so I can't really help out.
Now, Devin, how was the event at Noble Funk Brewery? I got to attend there for a little while, and it looked like a good time. Were you guys enjoying it?
We enjoyed it, for sure. Definitely a lot of work, but the one thing that we disliked the most about our show, and this is a good problem to have, is we only have 1 hour, so it's very difficult to cover everything that we want and give everybody the coverage that is necessary each and every week. Within that hour, there's obviously commercial breaks, so we only have 48 minutes of talking time. That's 3 16 minutes of segments. You all know what it's like. That, mm-hmm. that time frame moves fast. You say, oh, you know, we're only going to have you 15-20 minutes. The next thing you know, it's gone. And so it was great for us because we had a two-hour window, and we got to talk about the summer showcase itself, what that entailed, the great city of Louisville, the magnificent team that is Phoenix Rising that was in town, the matchup and the game, hot topics around the league, interviews. We don't ever get to do that. Usually it's, okay, here's this. We get to cover 25-50% of what we really want to. Maybe we squeeze an interview in, and then all of a sudden it's back to the drawing board to pick out your format of what you're going to talk about the next week. Mm-hmm. So we're beyond grateful for that opportunity, the support by USL to set us up in such a great location. Noble Funk Brewing was awesome. Love the porter that they had. Love the beer. The sub soccer where you sat down and played, that was fun. Hope and McPepper and I had a little fun in the one-on-one. I apologize for the thrashing that I gave her, but I can't back off. I can't do participation.
You got to win.
You know, I got to bring it.
No,
you
should
pedal to the metal. It's all or nothing.
I know, or she could take it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But she, you know, she was kind enough to bring me donuts, so I felt like I had to work some of them off.
I was about to bring that up. You finally got your afternoon donuts. Good for you. I hope you enjoyed your afternoon donuts. I was shocked. I'm like, oh, this poor man has had a donut outside the morning.
Everybody's giving me so much flack about this. Here's the thing about the donuts. What I was trying to convey was that I didn't understand who's purchasing donuts in the afternoon. I'm an equal opportunity employer. I don't care if it's plain, powdered, dried, sugared, chocolate flavored, tossed in whatever, steak sauce for all I care. I'm going to eat the donut. I've just never personally been in a situation where at 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm picking up said donuts. Now, I was obviously put in my place by the entire social media community. I respect that, and Hope was kind enough to share her gratitude in the form of donuts, 5 magnificently flavored donuts that I truly enjoyed. And, the support by the community, though, Lou City, you know, we are really lucky that Michael and myself get the opportunity to be involved with the community so much, to be around such a great organization. The league is growing, and it's getting better each and every year. And Lou City, you know, is one of those that, from a culture standpoint, I mentioned this on the broadcast, that word is thrown around way too much, but I can't say a bad word. And if people know me, I'll be the first one to run my mouth, point something out, or give a hot phrase, a hot topic, whatever you want to call it, hot take. I'll be the first one to say something. I can't say a single negative thing about the organization, from the person all the way at the top to the coaching sideline, any of the guys in the dressing room, all the way down to the individual who maybe volunteers on game day or helps out at the concession stand. Everybody is always so kind, and it's refreshing because the country itself, not just the championship, but the country itself, and people need more of that.
Oh, yep. Shucks.
We're truly blessed to have what we do in this city. It's one thing to have a soccer team. It's one to have one that's run relatively so well and so successful too. And I try not to ever take that for granted.
Yeah, I wonder if people in Louisville, I was fortunate to have dinner with a couple people on Monday evening. Danny Cruz is one of them. We were sitting there talking, and I said to some of the supporters at the table, I said, do you guys realize what you have compared to everything else around the country? And to be clear, around the country. I'm not talking about the championship. I mean around the country. There are so many organizations, even around the world, but in the United States, that come in and say, we're going to get this right, we're going to do this right. There's ambition, there's money, there's finances. There's a lack of execution, there's a lack of knowledge, of understanding. That's never been the case one single time for Louisville City. You have to say it again, since 2015, every single year, Eastern Conference finalists, right? The opportunity to go and take down the conference title. You've done it 3 times. You've won the entire thing twice. It's been golden boots and MVPs and goalkeepers of the year, first team, second teams, all of that, you name it. But within that, dude, do you truly understand that other communities don't get a chance, even within 1 year, to experience that? So I could understand how someone might feel spoiled, but they were honest. They said, no, we don't take any of it for granted. We understand that at any point in time, this could end. Now, in my opinion, I don't see that ending in the near future. Danny Cruz and James O'Connor have done such a fantastic job of making sure that there is that core, you know, that has remained over the years, whether it's been Niall McCabe or Paolo, you know, even we saw Oscar Jimenez come off the bench last night, which was great.
Yeah.
But then adding in the influx of new players like Wilson Harris and Musha Galusa, and to be able to take all of that, intertwine it into one, and still find success. Most teams struggle to find it within one season. Lou City just does it every single year. It's wash, rinse, repeat, and it's remarkable.
Talking about new talent, Devin, I'm kind of curious. Obviously, watching him on TV is one thing. How impressed were you seeing him up close and personal with Josh Winder, and where does he rank among the young players that you've seen over the years in this league?
Excellent question. So in terms of within the, it's, there is part of it that's loaded, and I'll tell you why in a second. In terms of what I have right now, he's the best young player in this league. And with all due respect to Kobe Henry, because I know Kobe Henry is a great talent, and I expect big things from him in the future. He was a young man who was transferred for a large 6-figure sum, you know, the sell-on fee and what the percentage could be after that is going to push it into 7 eventually from Orange County. Oliver and them have done such a great job of funneling talent out. But for Josh, it's a couple of things. Number one, he's extremely even-keeled. If anybody gets the opportunity to experience Josh, what he's like as a person, he's very outgoing, charismatic, huge humorous personality. But he also knows how to dial that down and make sure that when he's in front of the camera, when he's doing interviews, that he's saying the right things and being interpreted in the right manner. There's an emotion there that is contagious, but at the same point in time, it doesn't overtake his sense of responsibility that he has to the organization and to his brothers in that locker room. Now, on the field, it's a whole nother story. Danny Cruz said it best. He just mentioned his distributional capabilities. Now, Josh is tall enough. The physical accolades are there. You know, he's taller than Kobe. He's bigger than Kobe, he's shorter than Kobe. He's not as big as Kobe right now. Kobe's also a little bit older. So that's going to come. The natural maturation process will be there for Josh in the long run. Josh, with both feet coming off the back line, it doesn't matter if it's a 5-yard ball without any pressure, if he's pinging a 40-yard ball down into the corner, if he's being pressed high by 2 or 3 players and everybody's running at him, he's got the confidence to stay calm in those situations and persevere through it. There were a couple good examples of that last night where in the second half, Phoenix Rising mostly down in terms of their attacking nature because they really resided themselves to sitting back. But with about 10-15 minutes to go, there were a couple of times where they took chances. You know, they were pressing the front three, bringing one extra one out of the midfield. Josh didn't falter at all. He stepped right through the press. He would play around it. It was almost like it was the 500th game of his professional career or the 5th minute of the game, yet alone the fact that they just played, you know, the 1-2 matchup against 901 FC on short rest, on the road, on the weekend, drove through the night on a bus to get back. And yet still, he had the calmness of a seasoned vet. That kid's 17 years old. I watch him play and look at other guys around the league. He's someone that if I had to pick a center back, and not just because of the fact that he's 17 and he's got promise, I would put him as a top 10 to 12 center back in the league right now. And if you really sat down and looked at the metrics, you might even be able to argue that further up the chain.
Yeah, he is so good, even not counting for his age. I was curious, as much as I love hearing all of the praise for our team and all the players on it, I wanted to pivot to the league a little bit and ask you, you know, we had the showcase here, lots of meetings going on, and there's lots of interesting things on the horizon that are being sort of rumored that they're talking about, like maybe international calendar, maybe some sort of league cup. Is there anything sort of on the horizon for the league that you really are excited about the prospect of potentially coming down the pipeline?
Oh, yeah. All right. How do I do this without getting fired? Jake Edwards. Jake Edwards just tweeted, which means most likely he's off his phone. He's going to dinner, so he doesn't have the radio link.
Let's go.
I would say this. I'll leave some breadcrumbs here. Sacramento Republic is in a unique opportunity on Wednesday night. They are getting ready to take on Sporting Kansas City in the Open Cup semifinals with a chance to progress through the final. The winner of the U.S. Open Cup final gets an automatic berth to CONCACAF Champions League. Long it's been discussed, because the USL Championship is open, there are no roster restrictions, at least in comparison to what MLS has to deal with. You know, there are structures put in place for sure, but when you compare the two back and forth, in theory, USL, anyone in USL could walk in and just go, I'm going to buy all of these players and go win that damn tournament. People wonder what it would look like once they got to the final, if a team won it. I'll say this. There are things coming down the pipeline that there is a very good chance that a team from USL, now it's not done, but that a team from USL might have the opportunity to be involved in CONCACAF Champions League much nearer in the future than people think.
Oh, goodness. I thought MLS had too big of a stranglehold for that to happen, honestly.
Dropping the big breadcrumbs on us. That wasn't even one I was thinking of on the horizon.
That was a whole loaf.
Yeah, he made us a whole sandwich.
And look, there's a ton, right? Like, that's a big one. And again, that's not done. That's just something that they're talking about, and I think that there's a good chance. I would really keep an eye on expansion if people can. Mm-hmm. I know that within this league, people feel false promises at times, and I would disagree with that. I've been here since 17, lead analyst since 18, you know, full-time commentator since 2018. I've seen the growth firsthand, and if you just look at the overall quality of play, it's taken massive steps. But you guys know better than anyone, with all due respect to where it started and where it is now, there's a massive difference between Slugger and Lynn Family, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's easy to point out. And when you look around the league, that's not a unique occurrence. That's a continual thing that people are getting the opportunity to experience. Now, is it always going to be a 10,000-plus venue that people call Mecca and it's the best in the league? No, but it can be the best in the league for that community and for that environment. I use the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, for example. People kind of look at that pitch and, well, you know, it's Pittsburgh and maybe it gets cold at times or it's difficult to play. Well, number one, no one can handle the weather, and you're going to deal with that anywhere around the country. Number two, don't blame Bob Lilly for being such a magnificent coach. You know, Danny Cruz has high praise for him. But the community itself, the Steel Army, they rally around that team and, you know, they push 7,000 patrons every single game. I've been in a venue with 500 people that made me sick to my stomach. I've been in a venue with 50,000 people. And it's amazing that just the passion that a group can bring, the lower number, maybe not 500 to 50, but the lower number can supersede the larger number just based upon what the belief is behind it. Pittsburgh's a great example. The Tampa Bay Rowdy is another great example. So it's quality of pitches. It's the supporters themselves. I'd be remiss not to mention, although I've certainly had my run-ins with the fan base, Detroit City is a really good example, too. Yeah. It's an older venue. It's certainly not by any means brand new or state-of-the-art, and yet their coach, Trevor James, their ownership group, Detroit City and the supporters and the players, they're all bought into the idea of success, and it's followed them everywhere, and they've brought it into the championship. Anybody will tell you, if they've gone there to the Key and experienced Keyworth Stadium firsthand at ground level, they will tell you it is one of, if not the most difficult place to play right now in the USL Championship. And that passion is just starting to reverberate around the entire league, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and it's only going to continue. And that's with the expansion of new teams coming in, the stadium plans. Rhode Island is a good example. Queensboro is right around the corner. We just announced the New Orleans group. The ownership guy there, Warren Smith, he's the one who founded Sacramento Republic. He's the one who got them, and it's the only team that's ever done it to win a title in their first season. No other team has done that in their inaugural year. He then went to San Diego Loyal. They're obviously one of the teams that's regularly atop the Western Conference. So now you're seeing people that they see the product, they see the quality, and a lot more people are starting to flock towards USL Championship as opposed to just staring at the first division in MLS.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you. I mean, as cringy as I find some of the Detroit fans, they certainly are very passionate, and they're near the top of the list as far as teams that might deserve a new stadium. I'd also put New Mexico in that conversation. But, Devin, we don't want to keep you too much longer, but I do have one question for you. It's going to be a loaded question. Can we get your high-level thoughts on the Louisville City versus Phoenix matchup itself?
Absolutely. And by the way, thank you. The longer you keep me, the less I have to do at home with the family.
All right. Well, you can keep talking all night.
My wife's staring at the door and she just goes, no. Obviously, I want to see him. I just got home. But it was an interesting match for sure. Phoenix surprised me a little bit. And I say that because I knew what the lineup was going to be. You know, we're privy to a lot of information ahead of time. And I knew that they were going to change the front line. I didn't necessarily know if the direction that was being given to that team, if they were going to be able to execute. Lamine Jonnet, who they just picked up, Richmond Antwi, who sort of turned himself into a cult favorite, usually applies his trade on the outside, and then Greg Hurst plays in the 9 or usually in the 7 on the left. That wasn't the case here. So Rick Shawn said coming in, I'm playing these three. I've got one guy in Greg Hurst that can come underneath into the pocket. He can help out possession-wise. But I've got a ton of speed, and I anticipate the press to come heavy for the first 15 to 20 minutes. I didn't see a ton of that from Louisville City. That surprised me. Now, we have to take into account the fact that it is a short week. They just played 901 FC and that crazy heated game on the weekend in 1v2, and the temperature that was, I think someone said at one point in time, it was 90-90 in terms of degree and humidity percentage. And so their game plan was play direct, over the top at the beginning. Don't get caught with the ball. Don't be cute. We don't need a lot of interplay. When in doubt, ping it and reset your defensive shape. And they did that. They did that for the better portion of, I'd say, probably 25, 30 minutes. Louisville City finally started to work themselves into the game with about 10, 15 minutes to go in the first half. The problem was is they had really created separations within the ranks. So you had a pretty decent back four that really didn't give up much, to be fair. There was the one chance that Kyle Morton made the save onto the back post, or the near post, excuse me. And what you ran into was solid back four. Manny Perez was pushing. We knew that was going to happen. You didn't get balance from West Sharpie. The midfield three struggled to find combination play with each other. They couldn't then connect with the front line. I mentioned this coming out of halftime. Brian Ownby, and this is not a knock on him. I said this on air. Brian Ownby at the start of the second half had only had an interaction with the midfield twice, and it was two passes from Niall McCabe. 45 minutes in, that's not good enough. And so Louisville City just struggled. You know, Musa Galusa, as good as he did with the ball out in front of him and down into the channel, rarely did we see that trying to be taken advantage of. I did like some of the play by Ray Serrano, but when you transition to the second half, it was a different story. I was actually surprised that the move by Wilson Harris didn't come sooner. I thought that might have come at halftime. And so when I saw Danny Cruz lining up the troops, and it wasn't Wilson immediately, I went, okay, this is interesting. And he went with Corbin Bone. And the idea behind that was Niall McCabe, although not able to connect with the front three, he was still having a pretty decent game. He was efficient in his ways, a lot of movement, dropping down to help create a double pivot next to Tyler Gibson. Corbin Bone came in with Corbin, Niall, and Paolo Del Piccolo. Outside of the Corbin argument, you've got two guys that can play deep in the six. All three can play in the eight, and all three can compress into the final third. So they were pushing, and they did so. I wish I would have seen the ideas in the final third that were the last 10 minutes of the game in the entirety of the match. From both teams, to be fair. Mm-hmm. If we're being selfish talking about Lou City, you know, Jorge Gonzalez provided a spark, that bridge coming from really just below the mid-circle to probably, you know, 20, 30 yards from goal. There was no true defined ability into what they were trying to do. Danny Cruz briefly addressed that and how their ideas needed to be better in the final third. Well, if Phoenix is going to push you high and play long and reset their shape to midfield, why not try and counteract that? You got Musa Galusa, you got Brian Ownby, you know, Wilson Harris is capable of doing it. It was better on the balance than the outside backs with Wes Sharpie and Manny Perez, but maybe too late. Wes Sharpie was also gassed. I mean, he's one of the most versatile players on the team, but he was exhausted. It's center back, right back, left back, and he was tired. And the team just, you know, I chalk it up as, did they deserve 3 points? Deserve is probably not the right word.
I agree.
Were they the better team? Yes. Did they provide themselves the opportunity to go win it? Yes. Yeah. I heard someone from Phoenix say that a draw was fair. That's a glass half full to me. If I'm Louisville, I'm probably feeling bad about the fact that we didn't win that game. We're not upset that we lost, that we got a point. If I'm Phoenix, I'm feeling really good about the fact that we got a point, and thank heavens that we didn't drop three, right?
Yeah. And I think you're even more optimistic than me about it. I kind of was in the camp that I thought a draw was fair, but I'm happy a smarter mind like you was leaning more towards Louisville. Not going to argue with that one. But, Devin, I really appreciate you making some time to come chat with us. You know, maybe we can have you on again. I don't know. Maybe in like late November, kind of late playoff finals time, perhaps, when you're in town. Who knows? We'll see.
Anytime. I will make myself available for you all at a moment's notice. I think people don't understand. I had this discussion at the warm-up on Tuesday night at Noble Funk Brewing with a couple individuals. I don't think people understand how much, not just myself and Mike Watts, but anyone in the broadcast industry appreciates the opportunity to be in this spot to talk about such a great sport. And selfishly, when I related to the USL Championship in Louisville City, it is a home away from home. You know, all the jokes about, you know, how much of my affection for bourbon and everything, like I had pre-existing relationships with players and coaches prior to coming into the league, and that has only deepened even further. And that's not because you guys are good, and that's not because I put myself in a spot to succeed and get to call these games. It's because everybody's a good person, and you guys are great people. And in whatever way, shape, and form, however I can help, count me in. If it's the radio show, awesome. If you need me to come in for donut and bourbon tasting, I'm just a phone call away. Might need some help with the babysitting funds, but I'm always happy to jump on a plane and come up there. And I'm always grateful to be in that town because it is certainly one of the more fun ones for me personally around the United States. And thank you always for being so kind to me when I come.
Yeah. We'll have donuts and bourbon
testing.
Waiting. Yeah,
and coleslaw testing.
That too. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Enjoy your time with your family. Again, that was Mr. Devin Kerr. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go ahead and cut to a commercial break. Make sure you stay tuned. Soccer City Radio 680 1057.
You're locked on Soccer City, powered by your Kentuckiana Toyota dealers, right here on ESPN Louisville.
Welcome back to Soccer City Radio. I'm Benton. Got Zach here with me. We got to hear Mr. Devin Kerr's thoughts on the Louisville versus Phoenix match, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah, I mean, Well, one, like, you don't want to use weather as an excuse, but just the temperature and the humidity that night, I honestly, like, I'm not happy about dropping points at home, but mm-hmm. I was just pretty happy that we got out of there without anybody having a heat stroke.
Oh, my God,
I mean,
yeah.
I think you can't say that that didn't affect the game. I mean, Devin brought it up, but, like, clearly, at short rest, the weather like that, like, City was not pressing as much as they normally could. And like, for good reason. Like, I don't think physically the team could have
stood to do that. They weren't making the runs that they typically make. They weren't expending any extra energy. But to be fair, neither was Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could.
It's dangerous.
I lost track of how many players collapsed at the final whistle. We had at least four, and Phoenix had two or three at least, that just immediately, final whistle, dropped to the ground.
It's crazy when the humidity gets up there. Like, mm-hmm. it's like you just are suddenly out of shape. Even if you are in good cardio shape and you can run, you make one run in a game that's as humid as that, and you just can't breathe.
Yeah, as soon as, in our old man league, as soon as we went from the late times to the earlier times, like, boy, we felt that difference. I mean, we're not the same conditioning level as them, but
yeah. Normally, I got a couple runs in me. Like, those humid days, one run, and I'm done.
Zaps,
and it just fatigues you so much. And when you add, and Danny talked about it, when you add that on top of the travel, you add that on top of the extremely draining match in very hot conditions in Memphis, don't forget. And look, Ben and I were down there after the match. I was up top. Wasn't terrible. There was a breeze and everything. It's hot, but it's like, okay. It's 9:30. The sun is set and behind clouds. And in the 20 minutes we were down there for interviews afterwards, drenched.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what was this like an hour ago?
You don't want to find out.
No, I don't. But
you brought something
and
good.
And I wasn't running.
You brought something good that I want to bring up. And it was Coach Danny Cruz's post-match comments. And one thing I've noticed about him is that he's historically kind of steered away from any sort of external excuses isn't the right word, but that's just what I'm going to say. Any external factors. How about that one? Even when he's completely justified and kind of citing them as his issues, he generally steers away from it. But this time he was very open and transparent that they were a factor. The heat, it was a big factor. The
clearly
short travel
affected the game.
Yeah. And another thing he even brought up was that I love this actually. He was calling out the Phoenix team for the amount of flopping, for lack of a better term. They're spending a lot of time laying on the ground and getting stretched out, and it was really throwing off the team's rhythm, and he didn't hold back on that. So we got a feisty Coach Cruz post-match.
My favorite one was right before halftime, Brian Ombi caught a player by his fingertip on his shirt, and the guy goes down for 2 minutes holding his knee. I'm like, come on.
That's sad.
But to
Devin's greater point, like, I was pleasantly surprised that he was leaning towards that we were it sounded like comfortably the better team and unfortunate not to get more points. I was more in the camp that I felt it was it was probably more of an even affair, and largely because it wouldn't have been an even affair if we had a full week's of rest. They had a week and a half of rest. We had like 3 days, and he had touched on it too. These guys got home from Memphis like 3 the next morning. Like, get all sorts of thrown off.
I don't want us to get out of here without talking about the other 0-0 draw from last week, though.
Yeah, that was another exciting one. I feel like a lifetime ago with all this Little City stuff happening.
I talk about it. That was a much different feel of a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, it was.
We're talking about the Racing San Diego game in San Diego. I think that's one of the biggest differences in. Had you told me pregame Racing's going to come away with this with a 0-0 draw, I would have said, happy.
Take it.
Perfect.
Yep.
That was the most gut-wrenching 0-0 draw. Racing had so many opportunities to take that lead. And that was just, it was brutal to sit through. I'm not mad about the result, but man, yeah, it's that a lot of woulda, shoulda, coulda.
It's a draw that kind of feels like a loss in some twisted way. It's like, not too bad, because we needed a good performance like that. And honestly, like last show, we were pretty pessimistic heading into the San Diego match.
I wanted to shout out, like, that's the best game I've seen Chidiak play since she got here. She was involved in the attack, like, all over the place. I think she had opportunity. I just wanted to curve that shot near the end, into that back post.
They were probably their most consistent too.
Our guy Austin Buchanan last night, we were talking before the match, and he's like, "You want to see something frustrating?" And he pulls up the Opta stats.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Racing is fifth in non-penalty XG. They're sixth in penalty included XG. They're dead last in the standings." It's just they're, you know, it's like you said, it is so frustrating. To, some of these losses have been just gut wrenching.
We wanted to talk a little bit about where the team is now versus where they were last year, because I think you wrote down the stats. I think
Jonathan Lintner provided us. Yeah, he's the one that
at this point
work.
Last season they had 14 points, 2-6-2. I think, is that win loss draw, or is that, see, we're team win draw loss here.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm win-loss draw.
I know. It's because you're an American sports fan. Anyway.
Yeehaw.
This season, they're 2-5-5, 11 points. So they're 3 points behind where they were last season. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like last season, they played worse, but had better, the ball bounced their way more last season. I feel like this season, they have played better, but have had worse luck.
Yep.
Last year, when they lost epically bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
This year, when they lose, it's a match that you never feel like they're out of it.
Regardless of where the points are, I think the standard of play is higher this season.
Yeah, and before we get too far away from the match itself, one performance I do want to highlight is Kristen Davis. I thought she was looking particularly good, and I was very excited about her. She didn't find her goal, but she had a few close shots. I mean, she's a rookie player. She's going to continue to develop. So I think, and that's the first match I saw like a ton of promise in her.
Big
Not
surprise
that I didn't,
for me. I have been very happy with Wine's play last few games. Mm-hmm. I think she has been solid, filling in on outside back.
Yeah, it's a nice pickup. So, like you said, kind of frustrating. We didn't get a win there, but promise for the future on that one. So,
all right, we got games coming up, Ben.
Yeah, Racing Louisville has the next home match against the Portland Thorns. That's on the 29th. And Louisville City's next match is on the road on the 30th in El Paso.
Yeah, don't forget, hashtag fill the fam. Buy them tickets.
Fill the fam, yes. $5.02 for the Tampa Bay Rowdies game and the Chicago game.
Also, if you're not ultra online like me, you have to go to YouTube and find the Louisville Library's video of Gorp interviewing Alex Chidiak. Because it made my week. It's the funniest thing I think I've ever seen.
Jason, can we get another hour to talk about Gorp? In hope of the gloriness, or are you going to cut me to music soon?
Oh, hey, their mics have stopped working. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, shoot. Hello? But no, I'm excited for all the matches that we got coming up. I'm glad the Louisville City team has a bit of a break coming up, and excited for Racing to get out there coming off of that last performance.
Plus, we get some international players back soon. So that'd be nice.
Thank goodness. Yeah, that'll be nice to have. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to Soccer City Radio here at 680 1057. We'll be here next week to talk about the matches. Well, at least I will be.
I will be in Denver.
You're going to be MIA. Don't worry. I'll have somebody special in your spot.
Someone better, I'm sure.
I think that's Casey Whitfield's music that I hear.
By God! Thank you guys for tuning in. We will talk next week. Vamos Morados and Vamos Lavanda.